Tato jaya mudirayet. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Reading today from Canto 10, Chapter 58, Text Number 2. Drishtva tam agatam partha mukundam akileshvaram utashtur yugapad viraha prana mukam ivagatam. Drishva tam agatang pata mukundam akileshvaram utastu yugapad vira pranamukam ivagatam. Drishva tam agatang pata Mukunda Magileshvaram Utastur Yugapad Vira Pranamukam Ivagatam Drishvata Magatang Pata Mukunda Magileshvaram Utastur Yugapad Vira Pranamukam Ivagatam. Drishvatam Agatang Pata Mukunda Makileshvaram Utastu Yugapad Vira Pranamukam Ivagatam. Tamakitampata Mukunda Magileshvaram Vira Pranamukam Ivagatam Drishvatamagatampata Mukunda Makileshvaram Utashto Yugapad Vira Pranamukam Ivagatam. Ladies, Drishvatam Agatam Pata Utashto Yugapad Vira Pranamukam Ivagatam Drishtva. Seeing Tam Him Agatam arrived Pataha the sons of Prita Kunti Mukundam Krishna Akila of everything, Ishvaram, the Lord, Utashtuhu, they stood up, Yugapat, all at once, Viraha, heroes, Pranaha, the senses, Mukham, their chief, the vital air, Iva, as Agatam returned. Translation. When the Pandavas saw that Lord Mukunda had arrived, those heroic sons of Pritha all stood up at once, like the senses responding to the return of the life air. Please repeat. When the Pandavas saw that Lord Mukunda had arrived, those heroic sons of Pandu all stood up at once, like the senses responding to the return of the life air. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The metaphor used here is quite poetic. When a person is unconscious, the senses do not function. But when consciousness returns to the body, all the senses spring to life at once and begin functioning. Similarly, the Pandavas all stood up at once, enlivened to receive their Lord, Shri Krishna. How many senses are there? Five. Knowledge acquiring senses. So there are five Pandavas as well, so it's very appropriate. Yeah. Drishvatam agatam pata mukundam akhileshvaram utastur yugapad vira pranamukam ivagatam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuditananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasti Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is a very significant verse, in the sense that the Pandavas all became very enlivened when the Lord returned. There is I was reminded of a similar verse earlier in the Bhagavatam, where Vidura returns from pilgrimage. Let me read something from there. I forget which chapter this is of the Gita. It's the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Who knows which verse it is? Who are the pandits here? Pandits? Seventh chapter? I don't know. Anyway, I will read it. Anyone know which verse it is? Which chapter? No. Okay. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhisthira, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, and many other wives of the Kauravas and other ladies with children, all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. Thank you. 13th chapter of the first canto. With great delight they all approached him, as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remain inactive. But when consciousness returns, the limbs and the senses become active. And existence itself becomes delightful. I'm going to read that again. And existence itself becomes delightful. Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kaurava family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. There is sometimes a misconception, even sometimes occasionally amongst our ISKCON devotees, that life is bad. I'd like to explore that theme, because it is a misconception. Srila Prabhupada is saying here, life is good. Yes, we have to understand this. Embodied life is a little problematic. And I don't really have to get into the details, because we all know that, actually. No one can really argue that embodied life is difficult. There is always some challenge. But the point here is that life is good. The other element I'd like to explore is the role of affection and love, because there is a misunderstanding here. The human condition is rather difficult. On one side, as human beings, we want to enjoy. Yes? And the other side, we're aware of the difficulties. We have some intelligence. Yes? That's our condition. Animals don't have that awareness. They simply enjoy. So there is always a tension, there's a conflict, is that we want to be happy, but we're also aware that there is some kind of suffering, that everything will finish one day. All of us. Even the non-devotees also recognize that. There was one credit card. Do you have credit cards here in Mumbai? You're becoming very advanced, I see. I saw that very tall building coming. Yeah. Personal home, yeah? I saw it. So we're becoming very... But it advertised, we know that you want to spend money, but we know that you don't want to pay too much. So this embodies the human consciousness. We have the desire to enjoy, but somehow we're thinking I may get into debt. So we're giving you a special rate. Okay. So try and understand. This is the tension of the human being, and it is a difficult one to resolve, because there are always tensions in life, dilemmas. Yeah. Just like you buy your mobile phone. Even the brahmacharis here, they all have smartphones, I think. Most of them, mobile phones, yeah. That's fine. But you buy a mobile phone and you want the screen to look nice. So you buy a screen protector and it goes all in bubbles. So it doesn't look very nice at all. Think about it. You've had that experience? Life is full of dilemmas. So here's a particular dilemma between the desire to be happy, particularly I want to look at the desire for affection, and intelligence, which tells us this is not working somehow or other. My plans are not working to be happy. Today also is the appearance day of our Lord Shiva. Shiva Ratri? Yes. Okay. According to some calendars. I looked on the London calendar, Vaishnav calendar. It is Shiva Ratri today. Yeah. I was also born on Shiva Ratri, as it happens. So, we could actually pay homage to Lord Shiva. It is mentioned in that every morning we say that we shouldn't take the names of... consider the names of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to the name of Lord Krishna. But we should not offend Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam yata sambhu. He's considered the greatest Vaishnava. So we should be very, very careful about offending Lord Shiva. And there is an interesting episode in the Puranas, also in the Bhagavatam, about Daksha, who actually offended Lord Shiva. And we know what happened to him. He ended up with a goat's head, I think. Daksha. So these two traditions, there are two, sometimes those who are scholars define our broader Vedic or Hindu tradition in two ways. There is the, what they call Brahmanism or Brahminical culture, represented by Daksha. Generally, they aim to more enjoy the world in a religious way. Sometimes that's associated with Karma Kanda. So the idea to become elevated to the heavenly planets, to enjoy this world as long as we can. And then there is the other, the opposite. They don't get on, these two sides, very well. Because Lord Shiva, Daksha wasn't happy that his daughter Sati had married Lord Shiva. I mean, he didn't even have a house. What to speak of a 36-story building like you have in Bombay. He didn't have any house. So Daksha wasn't very happy. So this represents this tension. Daksha was thinking, he doesn't have anything. His followers dress very badly. And then the followers of Shiva, those who are the renunciants of this world, they think these people are just trying to enjoy the world. They're worldly minded. These two traditions, sometimes they're called Brahmanism and the Shramanism, sometimes, that tradition. So if you go to the Kumbh Mela, you see a lot of the yogis. They're renouncing the world. Lord Shiva also is Mahayogi. He's shown sitting in the Himalayas in meditation. But he's also sometimes shown with Parvati. So how do we understand this? Yes? I think once some of the sages laughed at him. There was a story. Who was it? Chitraketu. He laughed when he saw Shiva embracing Parvati. He mistook him. We have to be very, very careful, because there are these two tendencies in the human being, and there are these two paths. If we actually read the Bhagavad Gita, we'll find that this theme emerges again and again. At the beginning of the 3rd chapter, the beginning of the 5th chapter, the beginning of the 12th chapter, because Arjuna was bewildered because he'd been told, restrain the senses, buddhi yoga. But he couldn't understand how Krishna was advising him, you fight. Because he was thinking that actually restraining the senses means no action. And by the way, action and the emotions are very closely linked. Here, the Pandavas felt joy when they saw Lord Krishna, so they got up. Emotion. There is a connection between the emotions and activity. So what role do the emotions play? This is a key element in spiritual life. And it is resolved most perfectly by the Bhagavad Gita. It actually explores this issue. It's interesting in Western philosophy. There is a strand of philosophy coming from the Greeks. The idea is that the emotions are bad and the intelligence is good. Therefore, we have to suppress the emotions. Is that our path? Try to understand this. To actually try and understand the personalistic philosophy is not easy. We tend to think it is easy through our mental speculation to come to that idea of an impersonal God, or to somehow deny the self. This negation. One devotee asked me to quote Shakespeare, so I will do. And this is the point. Is that path of negation good? Is it useful? Actually, on one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, he almost speaks in an English way, He said, we sometimes, he's understating here, we sometimes criticize the Mayavadis. It's an understatement. We sometimes criticize them. Yeah, he's got it. He's got it. He understands. We sometimes criticize the Mayavadis, but they are greater than the Karmis. However, there is a flip side to this, that when one takes to that path of self-negation, rather than trying to enjoy the world, when one tries to attain liberation, usually through the process of jnana, that the heart becomes very hard. Therefore, when the prachetas had performed severe penance in the ocean, and they emerged from the ocean and they saw the trees, and they were concerned that the trees need to be cleared to produce crops, they actually became angry. And from their eyes, they produced fire that burnt the trees to ashes. This is yoga. Yogi, siddhi. They had that power. But the point is, they became angry. Because they'd undergone that process of severe austerity, but their hearts were not pure. So this is not the process of bhakti. So what do we do in the human form? It's very difficult, isn't it? We want affection, we want love, and yet we don't yet love Krishna. We don't have that yet sufficiently. So how do we deal with that? There is a difference between love and lust. We know that. This in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, lust is compared to iron, and love is to gold, like gold. They're both metals, but there's a difference in quality. So how do we deal with this? This is really the challenge we have in the human form of life. We cannot go down the road of materialistic love or lust, but also the path of renunciation, of artificially renouncing, will not work. Have you ever tried to artificially control the senses? My own experience, it does not work. You cannot give up desire. Klesho dikatrasteshama vyaktishaktishetasam. This process of artificially renouncing is not the path of bhakti. So Shakespeare in Henry V, the Dauphin, who is the prince of the throne, the prince who is going to be the king, the eldest prince, there's one quote, he said, "Self-love, my liege, is not so vile a sin as self-negating." So this process of negating the self to try to understand spiritual life, negating the real self, will not work. Sometimes we do that. So we say, we're not the body. Srila Prabhupada, that's almost like the motto of ISKCON, we're not this body. Otherwise, how could I, from London, be sitting here and speaking to you in India, the home of Lord Krishna? It would not be possible. But we understand, Ahang Brahmasmi. We're not the body. But Srila Prabhupada emphasized, what is the nature of that self? And it is the source of all affection and love. This is important to recognize. Therefore, that love has to be transferred to the Supreme Person. That is the process. Actually, Srila Prabhupada in one place, one lecture, he says, if you try to become detached, you will go mad. Really, he's so strong. It's not possible to actually become artificially detached. Rather, our affection has to move from worldly things to the Supreme Lord. That is the process of bhakti. Let me just check my notes. I've got it here. There's a very nice verse that I'd like to read, which I feel really solves this tension. This is from the third canto, chapter 25 of the Bhagavatam. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmanak kavayo vidu saeva sadusho krito moksha dwaram apavritam. The translation is, every learned man knows that attachment for the material is the greatest cause of bondage. However, when such attachment is transferred to the sadhus, the self-realized devotees of the Lord, moksha dwaram apavritam, it opens up the doors of liberation. This is really the solution, actually. Our affection has to go towards the devotees. Sadhu. Sadhu doesn't mean necessarily one who's dressed in orange and has a beard or whatever. In many books in the UK, there's books on Hinduism, so there's sadhus, but they're usually these renunciants. But sadhu means one who's a devotee of Lord Krishna. Moksha dwara parvritam, it opens up the doors of liberation. So we really have to develop this affection for the devotees of the Lord. That is the meaning here. That is the real purpose. If we have that affection between us, whether we're brahmacharis, grihastas, that affection will actually give us liberation. Therefore, it's very, very important we understand. It's not so easy to understand this personalistic philosophy that we're people. There's personhood. Krishna is a person. And that we have that eternal relationship with him. So Chaitanya's movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement, is really about that love for Krishna and developing that love through devotees and particularly through Vaishnava seva, through serving the Vaishnavas. So we have to understand this principle. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a very appropriate example. He gives an example from the Vedic culture that when the wife is at home, she dresses nicely, and when the husband goes away, she dresses poorly. In some cultures, it's the opposite. Those who are husbands will know that they want their wives to be dressed nicely. They should do. They should do. But in some cultures, it's the opposite. Yeah, they dress really badly. Actually, this is an important part of Vedic culture. Otherwise, familiarity breeds contempt. Very important. This intimacy has to be devoid of this familiarity. Srila Prabhupada explains this. It's the relationship between husband and wife, also between guru and disciple. It's the same. It's intimate, but there's not that familiarity. So in married life, there should not be that familiarity also. So therefore, the husband and wife should both dress nicely when they're in each other's presence. But in some cultures, the lady has her curlers in. And then when there's someone else coming or going out, she may dress nicely. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives that example. And he explains that for the wife, it's not about, in one case, enjoying, or in the other case, renouncing. It's out of affection for the husband in both cases. So in our tradition, sometimes we renounce as brahmacharis, vanaprasas, sannyasis, and sometimes we accept as grihastas. But actually the whole point is service to Krishna. Therefore, haritoshanam is to please Krishna. So don't think that affection that we have between brahmacharis or also grihastas towards the family, this is not maya for the devotees. It is our sometimes I hear devotees saying, I could not do any service. The ladies are saying, I had to look after my child. No. That is also service. Or it should be service, really. Srila Prabhupada at one point addressed one lady and said, your child is your deity, your murti. This is a great service, actually, bringing up children in Krishna consciousness. So try to understand that actually Krishna consciousness is not negating this world. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. And Srila Prabhupada, if you read his books carefully, wants us to go into the world, not to become affected by it, true, but to go into the world and to have an impact in all areas of life. All worthy areas of life, sorry. This Krishna consciousness movement, the philosophy is good. But we have to demonstrate it through our own lives. Srila Prabhupada has said, this Krishna consciousness movement will spread through our character and our conduct. Not that we're all Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, but our other religions do that as well. Yes, they glorify their leader. That's fine. We do glorify Srila Prabhupada. But the real glorification will be when we can actually set an example for others how to follow. Isn't that true? And in all areas of life, by the way. It's not that we can tell you just to chant. We can teach you to chant Hare Krishna. We can't teach you anything else. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books, we should become the best at every. Our family life should be better than everyone's. It should be an example. It is going in the West. I don't know what's happening here to family life. There's probably some problems. Now the families don't stay together very long. They don't eat together anymore. It's breaking down. Can we set that example? Can we become... Srila Prabhupada said, no religious movement has ever flourished, or ideology has ever flourished. He's talking about Buddhism and King Ashoka. Has ever flourished without royal patronage. Yeah? We need some of the Bombay Wallahs to give us some of their Lakshmi. And I'm sure some of you are encouraging those donations to be made, yes? So are we able to give advice to important people? That must come here. The Kshatriyas, even the Pandavas and many others in our Shastras, they took advice from the Brahmins. So Srila Prabhupada is suggesting that we also should have that capability to give advice to the world leaders. So we have to become exemplary in all areas of life. Politics, sociology, economics. We should lead the world not just by teaching, which is important, but also by setting the example. Therefore, acharya, one who teaches by example. So Arjuna wanted to retire from the battle. Practically the whole that theme, one of the themes of the Gita is not to run from the world, but to engage with the world. But even some of our ISKCON devotees, Govinda, I shall not fight. I will go and hide in the ashram. The ashram, many ashrams, not one, sometimes we use the word the ashram. The brahmachari ashram is very important, but all the ashrams are important. So therefore we need to perfect our own spiritual life, become Krishna conscious, but also go out into the world and become expert in all these fields. Srila Prabhupada writes, he says, some people say that when you're interested in spiritual life, you're no longer interested in the world. I don't know where they get this idea from. Arjuna was a fighter. Where do they get this idea from, that I'm no longer interested in life or this world? We should be interested in life, because life comes from Krishna. Life itself has its source in the spiritual realm. Now, why should we not be interested in this? This world is also Krishna's world. So we should be interested in this world. So this is really our mission. It is hard to understand. Therefore, there is a tendency in the beginning of spiritual life towards this jnana, or jnana mishra bhakta. We tend to renounce the world. But actually, we should understand that the real goal is to actually develop that affection for Krishna, for his devotees, and also jiva doya, for those who are suffering outside. Because it's true, without Krishna consciousness, life isn't. Even here in India, it's the place where Lord Krishna appeared. But when I was in Mayapur, I stayed in the community, and for half an hour I went outside up the road there to look for some gunchas. It was so dirty. It was moochy. Yeah. So dirty, the public places. I think there's some move now to clean up India by Mr. Modi. You should know, Mr. Modi, clean up the corruption and also the dirt. Yeah, but it was the ISKCON property was so well organized and so clean compared to outside. This should be our goal, to set the example to how to live a life perfectly. Actually, we want to go perhaps to Krishna. We want others to go to understand Krishna. But unless we set an example here, how will they know? And unless we're already engaging in that loving exchange with Krishna, what use simply to go back to the spiritual world? What will we do there? Unless we are already manifesting those loving relationships, we have to be ready to go. Does that make sense? We have to be ready. So our job is actually to develop that society that shows that love and affection. Very, very important. Caring for devotees. This is really our goal. And then also we will have that real affection for Lord Krishna. So also Lord Shiva, he's also the Mahayogi, but he also has that affection. And even I think in India, I think the ladies pray to get a husband like Shiva, and probably the husbands pray to get a wife like Parvati, I don't know. But they actually pray, because he's a devotee. He may not have a house, but he has all good qualities. So this affection is very important. We should try to develop that. Sometimes we men, we're like that. We have nothing to do with the emotions. Because Lord Shiva is the male principle. Shiva Shakti. Male, female. But actually we're Radha Krishna. Yeah? So this synthesis of karma and jnana, it is the fulfillment. Bhakti. It's not that actually bhakti rejects karma and jnana. It's the fulfillment of both of them. It's the fulfillment of action. It's the fulfillment of knowledge. It's the fulfillment of meditation. All those things. Life will become full, complete, when we're Krishna conscious. We want that. This dry material happiness won't satisfy us. Mere renunciation, dry renunciation won't satisfy us. The heart has to become full of that affection for Krishna. And that has to be manifest through our Krishna conscious society. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Shiva ki jai. Questions, comments? There must be something. Someone must have objected to something I said. Please. Chanika Pandit has said, one should accept knowledge with understanding, not simply out of respect for the teacher. It needs to be grasped. Knowledge needs to be grasped. Hare Krishna Das. Some comment. Yes, Prabhu.
Involved with this material world, Prabhupada has commented that. Can you elaborate these things to me?
Yes. We don't wish... We lose our taste to enjoy this world, but we don't lose our taste to serve Krishna. That's the point. So we have to preach. We have to be interested in this world. But not to enjoy, to serve. That's the difference. Why are we interested in life? That's the question. Either to enjoy this world, or the other hand, I want to reject this world. But that won't work, you see. A devotee sees that this is also Krishna's world. Those who are very advanced, they see it like that. And as devotees, we also see this is Krishna's energy. This world exists. It's false in the sense it's temporary. But it's not false in the sense that it doesn't exist. It is here. This world is here. We have a material body. It is here. You can't just imagine this. It's not here. The difference is the consciousness. While we're in spiritual, if we're in material consciousness, we'll see the world differently than we're in spiritual consciousness. But we should be interested. Life. The source of life is the self. Try and understand this. When we take to the path of denying, negating, nati-nati, there's a problem. Because this world is this world matter? Is it material? You answer me. Prabhu, what do you say? It isn't, you're saying. What is it? Huh? It depends on how you perceive it. Yes, good. What else? 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Know that everything here is a combination of the field and the knower of the field. This is spirit. Spirit is here in this world. It's a mixture of spirit and matter. Therefore, when we try to negate artificially, we negate not only matter, but we negate spirit. One has to try and see spirit manifest in this world, the Lord manifest in this world. Therefore Krishna explains, I am the sun, I am the moon, I am spring, I am the ocean. That is Paramahansa. He sees the spiritual. He has that discernment, you see. And actually, if we negate the self, where do emotions come from? Where does love and affection come from? It appears to come from the body in a sense. Sometimes something good happens, we feel happy. Yeah? Something bad happens, we feel unhappy. So it seems that actually this emotion is somehow being determined by the material energy. But my question to you is, where do these emotions come from? I want some answers. What's their source? Oh, I'm getting some... Anyone? Huh? Krishna or the Self, yes? The Supreme Self or the Self? You won't find affection and love in a microphone. Right? Do you? Or a table? Only where the Self is present, you find, right? Even in animals, there is some affection. So where does that affection... It comes from the soul. We We have to transfer that affection to Krishna. And desire, can you give up desire? Not possible. Not possible. If we're having trouble controlling our senses, I think we should increase our desire to serve Krishna. Yeah, really. Get the mission of the spiritual master, plant that mission of the spiritual master in the heart, then we'll be safe. I want to please my spiritual master. Increase our desire somehow or other. Have I got this wrong or am I right? Increase our desire. That's the bhakti process. You cannot give up desire. You cannot give up affection. You cannot give up action. This is not our philosophy. Those things have to be transformed. Therefore, when I was coming through Mumbai, I was wondering, is this good that I'm seeing so many new skyscrapers? Are we thinking, is it being westernized? But what's the problem? There's more wealth, therefore we can serve Krishna better. Yeah, that's how we should see it. Srila Prabhupada wanted that. He wanted the wealth that was then in the West at that time. Now it's changing. With the wisdom of India. Lame man and the blind man. Yeah? India is lame. It has no wealth. Or it was. And the West was blind. It doesn't have that spiritual knowledge. He wanted that combination. So it's fine. Let's take that wealth and build an exemplary Krishna conscious society. And talking of affection, thank you very much for welcoming me here. So nice to see so many of my old friends and to meet many new devotees as well. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.